podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the moment of the evening every K-State fan enjoys. Settle down and pour a whiskey, crack open a LaCroix. Please put your hands together and make a little noise for your favorite Wildcatters, the handsome Bosco boys.
Ooh, Bosco's boys.
Come on, boys.
Boom, the boys are back, and wild Friday we had, right? Right, friends? Look, I was scrambling. I was all over the place on Friday. And I'm sure a lot of you were as well. So we are going to talk about Jerome Tang as he's going to continue to be the K-State head coach. It was a wild 24 hours. We'll start at the beginning. I'll talk through stuff I was hearing, stuff I was feeling, and I'm sure a lot of it will be shared by you guys. Originally, this was going to be a show where I was going to give my thoughts about Doug McDaniel. That's something that I probably will still do at the end. I have a pretty good feeling that we're going to have more big transfer pickups here in the next couple weeks. So I'll definitely be working to get other folks on the show who know even better than I to really go in depth on the pickups. Also, it seemingly we in the middle of all of this, in the middle of everything, and during some of the darkest times, part of the day on Friday where I thought Jerome Tang was going to leave, it seems like we got a David Gasson is returning for his super senior season as well. So again, it truly was a wild 24 hours. Before we get into that, first I want to give a shout out to my friends over at Manhattan Brewing Company. Look, on Sunday, so 6 days from when you guys different buffalo wings, some different chicken wings, and Manhattan Brewing Company beers. That's going to be live over on the 1012 Network YouTube page. So you guys know it, Manhattan Brewing Company, best beer in the world. There's a beer for every occasion. I'm so pumped to be doing this episode. It'll be on the 1012 Network YouTube page. But doing some of this fun stuff with Manhattan Brewing Company and then my friends, Philip Slavin of the 1012 Network, it doesn't get any better than that. I can't wait. There's a couple beers that I haven't tried from Manhattan Brewing Company yet that are part of this tasting, and I'm pumped for it, and you should be too. So be tuned in on YouTube on Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time or Central Daylight Time, excuse me. And we're gonna have a blast. I can't wait for it, and I hope you guys enjoy it as well. All right, let's get into it. So this all kicked off, and throughout the entire coaching carousel cycle, we've seen Jerome Tang's name mentioned for a couple different jobs. We've seen Trilly Donovan do it. We've seen Goodman do it. We've seen people all across the college basketball world mention Jerome Tang for some of these different jobs. Now, I think there might have been some tires kicked for the Louisville job, especially when Dusty May ended up at Michigan. I don't think Jerome Tang really had much interest in USC. There's rumors. Again, I don't know how much I believe it, but there might have been some flirtation with SMU. But this all really kicked off with the Arkansas job, with Eric Musselman taking the bus out west to USC. And look, that was a job that I was always a little worried about. Part of me worried a little bit about SMU with them going to the ACC. They have some big money donors. So a part of me was a little worried there. But their search really seemed to look at Andy Enfield from USC. And ironically, Eric Musselman as well at Arkansas. If you want to look into the season that Arkansas had, off the court type of stuff, feel free to do at your own peril. It makes our season off court look like, you know, the Disney Channel compared to what was going on at Arkansas. And for the most part, quite frankly, I wasn't overly worried. And a lot of the folks that I trust were not overly worried as well, because the obvious move for Arkansas seemed to be to grab Chris Beard from Ole Miss and bring him to Arkansas. Chris Beard, everyone knows his story, gets Texas Tech to the national championship game, goes to Texas, seems to have things rolling there. pretty obvious domestic dispute. I mean, allegedly some domestic abuse happens at Texas. Texas fires him. Ole Miss takes him in because they don't have any standards, and neither does Arkansas, quite frankly. So it seemed like that was a match made in heaven. A guy who doesn't care, a guy who has an alcohol problem, and Arkansas seems like a match made in heaven. So that's why I wasn't worried. There seemed to be some rumors. There seemed to be a little bit of chatter on Thursday night. Jerome Tang goes on the Field of 68 show for about 20 minutes. He's not wearing K-State gear. Seems to sidestep a question about how he deals with his name being connected to other jobs. But for the most part, he's talking about how great K-State is and how great the fans are and how he's ready for next season. So, you know, you're like, man, I kind of wish he was rocking the lavender quarter zip. Kind of wish he would have said, hey, you know, I'd rather, I'm flattered hearing my name, but, you know, I'm at K-State for the long haul. Yada, yada, yada. Feed us, just spoon feed us what we want to hear. So that gets us to Friday. Again, I'm not worried at all. Working away, secret day job. Then all of a sudden, midday, it comes out that Chris Beard is going to stay at Ole Miss. And when that happened, immediately John Rothstein, Goodman, just about everyone in the sports world says Jerome Tang is the next guy. Tim Everson at the Manhattan Mercury had, you know, Jerome Tang, the, one of the finalists for the Arkansas job with Chris Beard. People doing, you know, spaces on Twitter, live podcasting. All right, well, sucks. We wanted Beard, but it sounds like Jerome Tang's the guy. Jason Anderson running his mouth on 810 saying, hey, he's hearing out in Arizona. It's a done deal. All this type of stuff. I was in a, I don't want to say dark place, but I was disappointed. I like Jerome Tang. I think he has the ability to win a national title. I was thinking to myself, all right, what are we going to do? I was about ready to record a podcast, kind of being disappointed, being sad, being mad. So it'd be ready when the news came through. That's how down I was. I was reaching out to a couple people. They weren't replying back, and I was like, this is a bad sign. This is a very bad sign. And as with always in these sort of situations, things slowly start to turn. You start hearing positive news. You start hearing some stuff about what Gene Taylor is doing behind the scenes, some of the stuff that's being worked. You start hearing, maybe it's not a done deal. Maybe he doesn't, want to leave, all things being equal, because his family loves Manhattan. His assistant coaches really love Manhattan. You have Day-Day Ames coming back. You have David Gasson coming back. You have Doug McAllister coming in. You have David Castillo coming in. You start hearing some of these things, and you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe things are going to be all right. Maybe things are going to, you know, maybe everything's going to work out. And then sure enough, by what? You know, it was 7 o'clock, 6:37 on Friday. You start hearing some really good news. And sure enough, by 8 maybe, Jerome Tang puts out his video saying, you know, I'm not done, with some great worship music in the background and a nice little slideshow. And then it's like, all right, it's time to get to business. It's time to get rolling. And I was pumped. I was relieved. I was happy about it. Look, I'm going to say what's going to follow. This is just my opinion. This is my main takeaway. I don't think anything I'm about to say is overly controversial, but I've made the mistake of thinking that before, and then people thinking, thinking what I said was insane. But so here it goes. Look, I do not blame Jerome Tang for going through this. I assume this is going to net him a raise. I assume this is going to net the assistant coaches a raise. I think this is going to net more NIL investment. And I think that this is going to neutralize any sort of threat of President Linton stepping over into athletics again. Those are all good things. I do not blame coaches who are looking to find a better spot. This is their career. This is their livelihood. This is how they support their family. College athletics is a fairy tale. You know, part of what makes the fandom work is you tell yourself, hey, this guy is going to stay forever because he loves the university that I love, and he loves the fans. He loves me. I'm not saying that Jerome Tang doesn't love the fans. I'm not saying Jerome Tang doesn't love Manhattan or the university, because I firmly believe he does. I think it probably would be a lot easier for him to leave if he didn't. But at the end of the day, if another job offers him something that he values that K-State can't match, he will leave. You know, I do not think for one second that because K-State was able to stem this tide, keep Jerome Tang from going to Arkansas. There's no part of me that thinks, okay, you know, that was the final test. He's going to be here for life. He's going to, you know, go to Final Fours, win a national championship, and he's never going to leave. No part of me believes this. A large part of me believes that, hey, if K-State finishes third in the Big 12 next year and makes it to the Sweet 16, there's a very real chance that we could be going through this again next year, and he might leave. You know, that there's a very big part of me that thinks that. But at the end of the day, what we have seen is the relationship between Jerome Tang and Gene Taylor grow only more. And I think that while I don't think it will ever get to the point of Chris Klieman, Gene Taylor, where Chris Klieman, I don't believe, is going to leave until Gene Taylor retires. And hopefully Gene Taylor just, you know, goes until he's 75 and Chris Kleiman's maybe even retiring at the same time. Because Chris Klieman values that relationship with Gene Taylor more than maybe he values other things. I'm hoping we get to the point where Jerome Tang is the exact same way. He values working with and for Gene Taylor, the best AD in the country. And maybe that does make it so Jerome Tang, you know, isn't connected to these other jobs. Maybe there aren't these flirtations. Maybe we don't have to have this, you know, 11th hour, you know, come together trying to find more money for salary and get donors buying more into NIL and all this type of stuff. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping I am wrong and K-State has a big season next year and we don't have to go through this again. I don't think I am. If I had to predict it, no, I would not predict that. But here's the thing. Jerome Tang is a very good basketball coach. I think we are setting ourselves up to have a massive season next year. And look, another 11 months for Jerome Tang to maybe start to value other things. Maybe it's, another 11 months of Gene Taylor, all of a sudden he's saying to himself, I can't see myself working for another AD other than Gene Taylor. Maybe we get to that point. But I'm not going to worry about that until next March. I'm not going to worry about that until the season ends next year. Because look, I think that we are going to have a super fun 2024-25 basketball season. And I think it's going to be awesome. I truly believe that. I think it's going to be a fun season. I think it's going to be a successful season. And what we've seen with the first transfer portal pickup, I think that's only going to be a sign of what is still to come. And if my prediction is correct there, look, we might have to go through this again. We might have some gut-wrenching 11th hour extension once again. Or maybe he leaves and Jerome Tang says, hey, thank you guys for the memories. I'm off to somewhere else. And then Gene Taylor has to make another hire. All of that stuff is on the table. But I'm still bought in 100% to Jerome Tang. I'm still bought in 100% to the coaching staff. I'm still bought in 100% to Marco Bourne, and I'm ready to strap up and ride again, man. You know, it's time to put on the lavender quarter zips, get right back on the front lines, and get at it. Because if there's one thing about Jerome Tang, if there's one thing about this staff that I know I can say, I know I can predict with 100% certainty, is as long as they're wearing the purple and lavender, they're going to be giving it their all, their 100%, to try to bring a national title to Manhattan, Kansas. And I still believe that Jerome Tang can be that guy to bring it home to us. And I'm just hoping that the relationships formed with the university, the relationships formed with Gene Taylor, become a big enough thing in Jerome Tang's world where we don't have to worry about, you know, getting into bidding wars next year with like Texas A&M or LSU or something like that. I'm hoping that he wins enough and that the NIL is where he wants it to be. So we don't have to worry about him, you know, going back to Arkansas in 2-3 years when they have a failed hire and that opens back up again. I'm hoping that, you know, that Texas doesn't come calling for him here in a couple years when they get rid of Rodney Terry. There are plenty of jobs that are better jobs in K-State, but there are not any jobs that have Gene Taylor. And I'm hoping that Coach Tang really values that relationship, you know, almost as much as Chris Klieman does. Because that's the one thing. That is the one trump card we have on every other athletic department, and that's Gene Taylor. All right, now to, you know, the stuff I thought I was going to be talking about. It was an absolute massive, massive pickup earlier in the week with Doug McDaniel coming to K-State. He is a... I think he predominantly plays point guard again. I think in the perfect world of Jerome Tang basketball, I don't think there's point guard, shooting guards, small forward, power forward, center. I think for the most part, not just in Jerome Tang basketball, but basketball as a whole, that's going away where it's ball handlers, wings, and post players. I think, you know, in the perfect world, you're playing with two ball handlers, maybe two and a half, one and a half posts. So, you know, you might have a little bit of combo there and one big, one post on the floor, one and a half, two wings, sorry. But Doug McDaniel, I think, is going to be that ball dominant guy who's going to allow, whether it's Day-Day Ames, whether it's another player, who we bring in the offseason to be a secondary ball handler. He averaged 16.3 points a game, 4.7 assists per game, 3.7 rebounds per game, 1.15 assists a game. And this guy doesn't turn the ball over. He's turned the ball over one or two times a game. It's an absolutely massive pickup. He is a guy who has 2 years of eligibility as well. So, and look, he is 5'10". That's going to make it a little tougher for him and Day-Day, I think, to be on the court at the same time. But ultimately, look, You know, there were some frustrating games last year and this year, of course. It was not perfect by any means, but this team knows how to teach defense. This was one of the better defensive teams in the conference last year and this year as well. Or at least middle of the pack, you know, upper middle class defense. Because, you know, Houston and Iowa State really had some good defenses. But like I said, upper middle class defense both years. And I as we saw this year, really the Achilles heel was consistent scoring. And this guy not only is a consistent scorer, again, if you can pencil in 16.3 points a game and then close to 5 assists, look, that's absolutely massive. Is he going to be Marquise Noel when it comes to distributing? No. But, I mean, can he be like a Denny Clemente type? Can he be someone who gives you – can he up that to 17 and 5.5? Maybe. I have no idea. And of course, Michigan was an absolute shit show. Juwan Howard, horrible coach. And, again, I'm not trying to say that K-State didn't have their problems last year, but the problems last year off the court – connect back to one player off the court incident and a little bit of a disagreement with the university president, and you still went 8-10 in the best league in college basketball. You were still on the bubble. You were still, I mean, look, without five bid steals, you know, in conference tournament week, this team is probably being flashed up there at being one of the last four out. Again, I'm not trying to minimize some of the problems, some of the issues that we had this past year. But, folks, if that's what we're talking about, bad years, then, I mean, look, sign me up. Because Michigan's been a shit show the last 2 years. And, you know, I'm hoping better coaching, better atmosphere, better vibes inside the locker room. I'm hoping that leads to even increase better stats for Doug McDaniel. Look, and you can look at the stats, you can look at the highlights, all that type of stuff, and you can make your own opinions. I think it is very easy to watch highlights of players and say to yourself, well, hell, this guy is going to be all Big 12. This guy could be an All-American, blah, 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 blah. The people who are paid to do this for a living, and keep in mind that this was as of when he committed. More people will be hopping into the transfer portal over the next, I think, month. I think it closes in early May. But at the time of jumping into the portal, Rivals had him ranked as the number 4 player in the portal. 247 had him as the number 6 portal. On3 had him as the number 13 player in the portal. So he's a consensus top 15 guy. You average them all together, he's a borderline top 10 guy. Obviously, 247 or Rivals is the one that's highest on him. But I mean, look, this is the highest ranked transfer portal pickup that K-State's gotten in the transfer portal era. Again, Kaluma was a good pickup. Again, Tyler Perry was a very good pickup. Keontae Johnson, again, different circumstances in how you got him in here, but he was an All-American, and he wasn't rated as high as Doug McDaniel was coming in, and of course, this was at a position of need, and you have 2 years as well, so in theory, you could have a trio of lead guards between Day-Day Ames, David Castillo, and Doug McDaniel, and then see what RJ can bring you. I think he's really going to be more of like a pop and shot, you know, 3-and-D type of guy. But you have him for 2 years as well. So this isn't even a rental. This is a guy that you're hopefully going to get and be able to see him develop over his junior year and have a senior year as well. Not to minimize anything about him, but because he is a shorter guy, I don't think he has much of an NBA future, so I don't think you have to worry about him leaving after next year either. So I think this is an absolutely massive pickup. I think that this is a guy who is a game-changing transfer. I think this is a guy who is going to be a Big 12 newcomer of the week multiple times throughout the year. I think there's a chance, and again, you have to wait and see what rest of the conference does. But I think he's a guy who could potentially be the Big 12 preseason newcomer of the year as well. That is how good he is. And again, he takes care of the ball. He distributes the ball. He plays decent defense. He's decent from three as well. Again, he's not like a 50% shooter, but I think he's around 38% from three for his career. He's a guy who is okay at getting to the rim, okay at finishing at the rim. He gets to the free throw line pretty well, hits around 75% from free throw. So again, not automatic. He's not Tyler Perry or anything, but a good free throw shooter. Everything about him is good to great. There are no massive weaknesses outside of his size. I will be interested to see, how he plays defense. And you know, I say that I think his D rating percentage, I actually don't think that it's that great. So, you know, the advanced metrics on defense are not great for him. I don't know if you can, I mean, look, whatever. I'm going to trust the staff to find a way to teach the guards to play defense. And I'm just going to worry about it later. Well, you guys can all call me dumb in January if he can't play. So you pair that. And then again, seemingly, now we haven't had a press release. We don't have... like anything official, there isn't anything written like David Gasson is coming back. But the video he put out on Friday sure makes it seem like he is back. And then if all of a sudden you can squint at the roster and say, okay, you know, you got two starters. You got Doug, you got Day Day, you have David Gasson, you have RJ and Buddy on the bench, just kind of waiting in the wings. You have David Castillo coming in. You're going to have more portal spots to get into. Some whispers making it sound like maybe Quez Glover's going to leave. That's not, I mean, look, if he wants to leave, please. I have no issues with that. No issues at all. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. The one I have my eye on, he announced his top three. K-State's in his top three. It's Mikel Brown Jones. He's currently ranked as the number 20 player in the portal, according to On3, as of time recording. Again, as folks get into the portal, those ratings will fluctuate, but currently a number 20 portal guy. He was an 18.9 point scorer, 7.5 rebounds, 1 assist a game. He plays on the wing. He's like kind of like a 4, you know, because he's a beefy guy. He's 6'8". He played at UNC Greensboro the last 2 years. This would be his super senior season. Started at VCU, then transferred to UNC Greensboro. He shoots like 40-something percent from three, but he only shoots 2 a game. So it's like, you know, he's going to shoot 2. Most games he's going to hit 1 of them. But he rebounds. He gets points. And this is the type of guy who I think you can match with David Gasson, and he has the ability to stretch the court a little bit more. It allows David Gasson to play inside, and you're not going to be giving up a lot of rebounding. It's not like you're going to have, you know, RJ out there playing the four, playing on the wing, and you're going to be sacrificing a bunch of rebounding. So he's a guy that I'm going to be dialed in on. And we're going to see what happens there. That's really the only one who is front of mind for me. Again, it's only April. I mean, heck, we didn't grab anyone until May last year. So I think Jerome Tang and the staff has learned their lesson. They are attacking the portal fast. They're getting commitments fast. And look, I don't think this is, oh, you're settling because, you know, last year you were big game hunting the entire way. No. You know, you have a top 15 kid. You're going after a top 20 kid in the portal right now. If you could wrap up 2 top 20 portal kids by middle of April, all of a sudden, folks, you're cooking with gas. You are in an amazing position where you're waiting on Kaluma to make a decision. It sounds like he's going to go through the NBA process. I know some folks are thinking he might be coming back. I'm like see it to believe it mode with him. But you grab those two guys. All of a sudden, you're looking at your starting lineup. You have, you know, 4 or 5 pieces 100% locked in. You'd be looking for another wing. Again, that's something that could change with Arthur Kaluma if he comes back. Some talk about Omaha Ballou, who transferred from Iowa State. He played at Link Academy in Missouri for Rodney Perry. I don't know about that. I think that might be one that's a little bit more slow played. We're going to see what happens there. But Joe Tipton publicly linked K-State to him. There's nothing else that's really out in the public or anything outside of those two guys that I've been able to independently pick up on. There are other names, I'm sure, floating around, you know, on K-State Online, on Go PowerCat, whatever your message board recruiting news of choice is. I'm sure there's more over there. But again, I try my best never to talk about things on this show that I'm stealing from their message boards. If I can't get someone independent of them, if I can't get someone with K-State or someone in the recruiting world to confirm something for me, if it's not out on Twitter, I'm not going to be stealing stuff from behind paywalls. So be checking that stuff out. But I think dead period through the end of the week, or at least midweek. So be looking for visitors to be coming in and out. So we're going to see what happens there. I'm excited, folks. I truly believe. I think if you close on Mikel Brown Jones, I think you are setting yourself up to make a lot of noise in the Big 12 next year. Now, again, it's going to be a lot of new pieces. You're going to have to really figure stuff out. And the job will not be done. You're still going to have at least two, maybe as much as four more, depending on Kaluma, depending on Quez Glover, spots to fill. Eventually, you are going to have to find some of these. You're going to have to also keep, you know, I think Buddy Rich and RJ committed. I don't really care what happens with Taj Manning, but it sounds like he's going to stick around as well. So if you lose Quez Glover again, and then what Kaluma does, you're still going to have up to four spots to fill. That's a lot of spots, and they're going to have to, you know, mesh together. They're going to have a productive summer to get folks up to speed, and it might take a little bit. It might be rough early on. But I do think the talent that they're accumulating, especially if they can close on Mikel Brown Jones, this team could be very dangerous in Big 12 play and hopefully be making a run to the second weekend or more in the NCAA tournament. I do think it is an exciting time to be a Wildcat. I think it's a great day to be a Wildcat. And I think those days are only going to continue. All right. That's all we have. Again, as long as there is no crazy breaking news, still working on trying to get Grant to hop on the mic so we can have an anniversary show. Look, it's going to happen at some point this spring or summer. I'm going to stop trying to predict when it's going to be, but it will happen at some point. We'll have an old school Bosco's Boys episode with the both of us. We'll reminisce on the journey. I'm trying to think. Look, at some point, like I said, at some point I'll get someone smarter than me to talk about the portal additions. Probably, fingers crossed, going to wait for a second portal commitment before we do that. But we'll be working on that. At some point we'll have a spring football wrap-up so we can hear some news from spring practice football. You know, around the corner, we'll have Mom Pod, Dad Pod this summer. I'm working on creating a couple trivia games, a couple different games that we haven't done since the very first football season, and that is having some sort of behind enemy lines summer school thing going on where I'll talk to hopefully someone from every single game on K-State's schedule. So be looking for that in July. But again, we're always going to have a show on Monday, depending on what the week, any news, depending on Grant's schedule, might have a show on Wednesday or Friday. But right now, I don't think that's in the books, but just stay tuned. Obviously, be following on Twitter. We will have our final Charlie Hustle giveaway to whoever wins the bracket tonight. If Purdue wins, I believe Cleet wins, or is I don't know. I'm not sure. I know if UConn wins, Matt P will win the Charlie Hustle shirt. So, you know, to the two people who can still win, good luck. We'll see what happens. Maybe it's Kale. I don't remember who wins if Purdue wins. But it's been fun. It was a stressful Friday. I hope now on Mondays you guys are listening to this. We're all cooled off, all taking a deep breath. But that's all we have. Again, we'll be live on the 1012 Network YouTube page on Sunday, 8:30, pairing some wings. Love you guys, and go Cats.
It's time to get set for the Cat Attack.
You can feel the excitement. You can feel it coming on for Kansas State. The feeling's growing strong. You can join in the action. This is where you want to be with Kansas State. Come on, set your spirit free. Kansas State, our pride is with the Cats. Kansas State, come on, join the Cat Attack. Kansas State, excitement's in the air. Kansas State, the fun is being there. Having a good time there. Purple and white we share. Showing our colors everywhere. Kansas State, our pride is with the Cats. Kansas State, come on, join the Cat Attack.
Sports Social Podcast Network.